You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Moses struggles with God. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and that's what we're looking at today on Words of Encouragement.
As we have been walking through these great stories of the Bible, I have so enjoyed digging deep into these and looking and seeing how God moves and how He acted and how He works through people, just like you and me. And I just want to remind you, these people in the Bible were just like you and me. They got up in the morning. Now, they didn't put, they probably put one sandal on at a time. Okay, there you go. I don't want to say they put one blue jean leg in at a time, but they did put one sandal at a time on. They put one shoe at a time, just like you and I every day, getting up in the morning, getting ready. They're just people, just people. But they are people that God used, that God chose to use and work through. And they were people that said yes to Him when God called on them. And so that's one of the main things I want us to see. But what I want us to look at this morning is that there are some times when God calls and people struggle with the call. Now, we say, when I say it that way, when I just said it that way, the call, many of you thought, oh, the call to preach. Well, I don't have to worry about that. God hasn't called me to preach. Well, that's great. No, what I mean is any call that God has on you and on your life, He's going to call. If He has called you to Himself and you have received Him, if you have said yes to God, yes to Jesus, you've had your sins forgiven, you're a part of His family, then God has placed a call on your life to share the good news of Jesus. And it's just, how are you going to do it? In what way will you do it? In what way will you share with others about Jesus? Maybe He is calling you to preach. Maybe He isn't. Maybe He's calling you to be a Christian witness just where you are. Where you are in this point in life. But wherever you are, whatever you do, He's calling on you to shine the light. Well, have you ever been called on to do something you thought you could not do? Have you ever had that happen to you? I don't know why, but in my head, it was a dream. I was dreaming, and one of the dogs woke me up in the middle of the night last night, and I was like, oh man, wait a minute, hush, I'm trying to finish this dream. And this dream was that you're going to laugh because it is funny, but I was on the LSU football team. And I was sitting on the bench. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden it hit me that I was on the team. And I didn't know how to play. And I didn't know what to do. And I was sitting there and I thought, oh my goodness. And I kind of looked around and I thought, I mean, they're going to kill me out there if I even go out there. You know, it was just such an odd thing. But if you've ever been called to do something you just didn't know how to do, you either felt like you didn't know how to do it or you didn't have the ability to do it, then you know what is happening here. You had no feeling inside that, well, I can handle this. I can do this. You know, it's going to be okay. I can handle this. No feeling like that at all. It's just like, oh my goodness, wait a minute. I have been called to do something I cannot do. I don't have the ability. I don't know how to do it. Why am I here? Why am I stuck here? Many of us get just frustrated when we buy something that we've never owned and had to put it together. Have you ever been there? You know, we're called on, you know, hey, we got, I remember Suzanne and I, we bought two chairs, our first furniture purchase ever after we got married. And we were all excited. Well, we had to put them together. I tell you that right there. It wasn't already together. My goodness, you know. Well, it's what we could afford, and that's what we did. And we learned to live within our means, you know. I had those chairs, and I thought, man, it's not that hard. Come on, you know, just put them together. I mean, all you got to do is put this here and this here, and you don't have to look at instructions. No, I mean, it's a chair. How many parts are there? Oh, well, guess what? You have to use an Allen wrench, and they supplied the Allen wrench, because surprisingly enough, I have an Allen wrench, but they had one in there for me. And I sat there, and it took me a little while to get all that together. But it was something I had not done before, and I just thought, wow, surely I can do it by myself. And then you look at the instructions sometimes, and they're as clear as the Red River. And you think, well, that doesn't make sense. Why do I need a picture? Well, yeah, they don't have a picture supply. They tell you, and then sometimes it's in broken English because the instructions were done somewhere else, and it's like, oh my goodness, why? Well, this morning we're going to look at Moses. We're going to look at Moses as he struggles with what God has called on him to do. Now we're still at the burning bush, okay? So that's where we are. That's what's happening. That's where we are in this exchange between he and God. Well, what has God called him to do? Well, God's only called him to go back to Egypt and face Pharaoh. He's only called him to go back to Egypt and just tell the Pharaoh, hey, let God's people go. That's all God's asking him to do. I mean, that's not a big deal, is it? Oh my goodness, wait a minute. Let's think about this. He's wanted for murder. He has murdered an Egyptian, Moses has, in defense of a Hebrew, but he's done that. He's wanted for murder. It's not exactly the place he wants to go back to. But God says, no, I want you to go. That's what I want you to do. And Moses says, well, I don't know about this. Let's look and see how he deals with this call of God on his life. If you're able to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 17 through 20, and then we will move into chapter 4. The Bible says, so I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. May God bless the reading of his word. I invite you to be seated. So we have, this is the part where you have a tendency to want to get on Moses and say, come on, come on. God of the universe is going to help you do this. It's going to be okay. Why in the world are you worried? Why in the world are you concerned? The God of the universe is going to help you. It's going to be all right. That's what we feel many times. Well, the first thing I want us to see is Moses resisting the call of God. In chapter 3, Moses has already asked God, who am I to do this? Who am I? Who am I to do this? God said he would be with Moses. Moses then doubts they will believe him, and he asks them, what do I say if they ask me what the name of God is? God tells Moses, I am is his name. The holy name of God is revealed to us. We would say Yahweh. Unlike previous names, Yahweh does not limit God's nature to any particular characteristic. He is what he is. And as I've said before, this name is so holy the Jews do not even speak it. Moses continues with this struggle to get out of the call of God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever struggled with God calling on you to do something and you've just said, well, no, I don't know. I don't know. God has said, you need to go talk to this person or this person. Hey, that person needs to know who Jesus is. And inside you're struggling. I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. God, I don't know. Somebody else could go. I think all of us have been there. If we've listened to the Holy Spirit, we've been there. God tells you to go and minister to someone in some way, and you just find yourself in a struggle. Let's see how a fellow human, no greater than us, dealt with this. Look at verse 1 in chapter 4. Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord does not appear to you. That's pretty valid. I mean, it's just Moses' word over somebody, you know, anybody else's. I mean, he spoke to me. That'd be like today. We said, well, I really feel God is telling me to do this. Really? Really? Moses has a valid, you know, a valid point, I think, here. What if they say, what if they don't listen to me? What if they say, well, God didn't talk to you. God hasn't appeared to you. Moses is trying to get out of doing what he's been called to do. Look at verse 2. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. This is the beginning of the development of the concept of Moses' staff symbolizing Yahweh's power. It's just a staff. But it's much more. It's much more. It's a symbol of God's power. And God's about to make that kind of pretty clear to Moses. Look at verse 3. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Oh my goodness. Now that's me. See, a regular person just like you and I, it's a snake. Oh, whoa, no, wait a minute. Let's get a view of it. Let's get a handle on this. Let's see what's happening here. Is that thing going to get me? What's going on here? Moses fled from it, the Bible tells us. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. Okay. Moses is a fleer in that situation. One who flees, a fleer. I am a fleer in situations like that. And now God says, grab it by the tail. I don't know about that. I don't think so. But watch what's happening here. There is a trust in God when it comes to this snake. There's a trust. Now, I'm not going to go talk to Pharaoh, but now, wait a minute. You want me to grab the tail? Now, wait a minute. The Bible tells us in verse 4, so he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Wow. Now, I think that is a lot like you and I. We can trust God for salvation. I'm going to trust and believe that when Jesus died on the cross, my sins were laid upon Him on that cross. Jesus took the punishment that I deserve for my sins, and I, if I trust in what He did, I am going to heaven. I have my sins forgiven. I am one of God's children. I can do that. Oh, but when God calls on us to do anything else, my goodness, He's only called on us to go and talk to a neighbor about Jesus? I mean, goodness, if He can save my soul, for crying out loud, certainly He can be with me when I go talk to my neighbor. Certainly I can be empowered and enabled by God's Spirit to do what God's called me to do. Surely I can do that. But it's interesting here how He reaches out. He does. He grabs this snake. It turns back into a staff that is going to be a sign that God is with Moses. In verses 6 and 7, Moses is instructed to put his hand in his robe, in his bosom, and then pull it out. And when he does, it's white like snow. What in the world? He's instructed to place it back under the robe, and he does, and the hand is healed. Look at verse 8. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile, the river, the Nile, and pour it on the dry ground. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So if they're not going to listen to the first sign, maybe they'll listen to the second. The second is an immediate cure for a horrible skin disease that was not available at that time. Immediate cure. He puts his hand in, pulls it out. Oh my goodness, it's like leprosy on his hand. He puts it back and it's cured. Oh, whoa. I would tend to believe if I saw that with my own eyes. I would tend to believe. But if that doesn't convince, surely it would, but if it doesn't, verse 9, surely they would. This would help them to be convinced that God is at work in Moses. For God's servant Moses to demonstrate through this simple act of God's power over the Nile would be to demonstrate God's power generally over Egypt and the Egyptians. I mean, this is their source of water. This is their water source. And if God can mess with that, oh boy, then God's in charge. God's in charge. I mean, if he can do something, if he could change our water source, now wait a minute, that's really odd. The Nile River is the longest in Africa. Interestingly enough, the name Nile does not appear in the Hebrew text. The Hebrew simply calls it the river. And I think many times in the King James it just says the river. But that's referring to the river. But the Nile, I mean, it's like, boom, the river. Obviously, they know back in that time what they're talking about. It's the Nile. It's the big one. Well, what do we see here? We see God calling a man to a task and giving him tools to use. And this is what happens when God gives us a task. This is what happens. He gives us the tools we need to carry out the task. He doesn't leave it up to us to figure it out. Oh, God's called me to do this. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to do it. Huh. No. God's going to enable you. He's going to empower you. He's going to give you tools that you need to do what He's called you to do. God equips those whom He has called. God equips those whom He has called. Well, the second thing we see, Moses submits to the call of God. One might think that armed with miraculous acts, that Moses would be just ready to go, ready to confront Pharaoh. Let's go. I got the staff. I can do this water bit. I've got my hand trick. I mean, this is great. You know, you would think Moses felt confident. But look at verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I am heavy, heavy of tongue, heavy. I'm not a man of words," Moses is saying. I'm just really not a real good speaker. I never have been. He says, I've never been, neither recently nor in time past. I love that. It's almost a little comedy there. Recently or in time past, look, I am not a speaker, okay? Now, this is funny. Think about this, what's happening. This is the God of the universe, the God who made Moses, the God who's protected Moses, the God who's called Moses, and this is Moses talking to God saying, I'm just not a good speaker. I'm not a good speaker. This is the God who knows Moses, knows what He can do with Moses, knows how He can empower Moses, knows how He can enable Moses. And I just have to wonder what God's thinking. I'm just not a good speaker. I think God, you know, he lets it get it out. Get it out. Just get it out, Moses. Talk. Get it out. Say what you're going to say. He's not a man who's good with words. He's never been good with words. He's heavy of speech, heavier, slow of tongue. But God is prepared. God is prepared. I want you to see here that God listens to us. Even when we have excuses that are excuses, He listens to us. He's not looking over all of that and saying, whatever. No, He hears us. And He engages Moses in verses 11 and 12. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth?" Oh, we're going to go there, are we? Anybody study Job anytime recently? Read through a little of Job? Sounds similar, doesn't it? Who has made man's mouth? We're going to think about this, Moses. I'm going to make a little point here, Moses. Well, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Moses. Just, you're not getting out of it. You're not going to get out of it. God has called you. God is going to enable you. God is going to empower you. God even tells him, I'm going to be with your mouth. It's going to be okay. I will be with your mouth. God is in control. He will provide. The yearning in God's heart is for His people to lean on Him, to depend on Him for help. I know it's hard. I know that we are independent people in this world and we can handle things by ourselves. So we think. I know that we think, oh, well, I can do that. It's not going to be a big, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's not a, what was it? I had a minister of music told me once, it ain't no hill for a stepper. That's what he told me. That ain't no hill for a stepper. I thought, okay. God's going to enable us. But we sometimes think, well, we just got to do it all ourselves. And God's told us, oh, we just, oh, I got to figure all this out. No. We just follow along. We do what God's called us to do. He will enable us. Moses, it just cannot stop trying, though. He just can't stop trying. Look at verse 13. He said, but he said, I mean, we get all this. God, you and I have gotten the point by now that God's going to help Moses. But he said, Moses, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Just find somebody. Just find somebody else. Just find somebody. Just make it happen. This verse literally reads, but he said, please, Lord, now send by the hand which you send whomever you will. The phrasing of the Hebrew worded in the English might be better rendered this way. With all due respect, sir, you must know someone who's available to send. In the Hebrew, it is the courteousness, the reverence, the awe of who God is coming into play in Moses when he's speaking here. And so he, with all due respect, sir, you must know someone else that you could send. He's being polite. He's being courteous to the Lord. That's what the Hebrew brings out here. Moses opens the door for God to use whomever, just not him. This does not sit well with God. Moses says, protested. God says, no, here, I answer every time. Here, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to be with your mouth. It's going to be okay. Boom, boom, boom. Look at verse 14. Then the anger, oh, wow. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Aaron's fine. He can talk. He's going to come help you. He's coming right now. He's going to be with you. The phrasing here, God does not let Moses off the hook. He does not let Moses off the hook. He's still going to use him. Aaron can express himself in speech, and God says, look, he's on his way. He's on his way right now. If Moses needs encouragement, if Moses needs a little lighter load of pressure to do this task, then God's going to provide that too. I mean, if you need that, I feel like if I was God, I'd say, Moses, can't you just trust me? Can't you just trust me? That's the way I feel. But God, He, all that, all, I mean, we go through all of that. And then finally, God says the anger of the Lord burns against Moses. I said, look, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. God is a God of no excuses. If He wants to use you, He will. And let me tell you something, He wants to. In verses 15 and 16, the Bible tells us, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Ooh, okay. So Moses is to speak to Aaron, and then Aaron will have the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Goodness, how much plainer can it be? God's going to take care of it. He's going to help them do what He's called them to do. Aaron will speak for Moses to the people. The words will be given to Moses and then they will be given to Aaron, and Aaron will speak for Moses to the people. And the Bible tells us, look at verse 16. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. Whoa. In other words, God is the revealer, Moses is the prophet, and Aaron is the public repeater. It's just kind of a line here. God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to Aaron, and then Aaron repeats what God has spoken to Moses. God tells him to take the staff, and with it he will perform the signs that have been shared with him. At this point, the ball is still in Moses' court. What will he do? Will he trust God to equip him when the time comes to speak to Pharaoh? What will he do? Will he trust God to protect him? Does Moses trust God? Does he? Is he there? Has he stepped out? Has he made that move and said, okay, fine, I'm all in, I'm here we go. What is he going to do? Look at verse 18. Then Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Wow. Did Moses need Jethro's permission to leave? No, but common courtesy would call on a son-in-law to be sensitive to the fact that if he was not going to be in the field with the sheep, if he was not going to be out there with the flock, somebody needed to be. And so he does give him common courtesy even to say, Jethro, I need to go. Because Jethro was going to be left a little shorter in the workforce if he let him go. Moses desired to have his leaving be on good terms with a blessing from his father-in-law. Blessing. And he says, go in peace. Look at verse 19. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. Good news! Look at that! Moses, he's made the choice, I'm going to go back. And as soon as he does, God comes to him and says, guess what? All those people that you were worried about that were going to kill you, they're dead. You don't have to worry about that. Moses had to step out in faith. Moses had to step out before God tells him this. And I found that fascinating that he doesn't know that. He thinks he's going back in there and it's going to be bad. And he's scared. But he proves his faith when he goes and tells Jethro, we're going. On our way. I'm on my way. Now this is great news. Great news. The fear of death has shrunk upon hearing these words from God. Now, it was a common practice in the ancient world, as it is in the modern, for a new government to cancel criminal penalties imposed by a previous government, thus granting general amnesty to prisoners and those that were sought by the law. So this is something that happened. So those who were seeking, the order's not still going on there to kill Moses. Look at verse 20. So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand, the symbol of the presence of God. So Moses packs up his family and moves to Egypt. Egypt. That's right, Egypt. Notice the last sentence of verse 20. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. Now this is it. This is good stuff here. To have the staff of God, the symbol of the presence and the power of God. He takes this staff in his hand. A staff could be used as a crutch, a weapon, a walking stick, a tool to keep animals under control. But by divine designation, it became not merely Moses' staff, but God's. God said, "You shall take in your hand this staff, with which you shall perform the signs." This is not just a regular staff. This is the staff of God. Later, Moses refers to it as the staff of God. Notice that when God called Moses to a task, he enables him to carry that task out. God has called you and I to the task of sharing the good news of the gospel. He has called us to that task to share with others who Jesus is and what he's done for you. He's not sitting back and waiting and watching. That's not what God's doing. He's not sitting in heaven just watching. Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? When are they going to do it? When will they do it? No, God is enabling us to do it. We have what we will need if we will go and do. We have what we will need. God will give us the words. God will give us the sensitivity. God will give us the timing. God will be with us. He will give us what we need to do what He's called us to do. Do you trust Him? The question is, do you trust Him to equip you? Do you trust Him to equip you? Sometimes you won't know till you just go. You won't know until you do it. You've got to get out there and do it and find out for yourself. Yes, God enables. He does. He does enable. But we've got to step out. We've got to step out. Moses was stepping out to Egypt to perform the task that was given to him. He had to step out. Will you and I step out to the task? Have you stepped out to find if God will truly enable you to share the gospel? Have you stepped out? Have you done that with someone? Have you talked to someone about who Jesus is? Have you shared with them what He did for you in your life? You are who you are today because of what Jesus did for you. And people need to know it. They need to know. They need to know why you care about them. They need to know why you take time and you're sensitive with them. They need to know that why you're different from everybody else in the world. You're a different car salesman. You're a different tractor salesman. You're a different insurance agent. You're a different person. Why? Because of what Jesus did in your heart. And they need to know why. They need to know why. The first thing I want us to see is that God equips those whom He has called. The second thing is that God has called you and me. Will we step out and will we find out if we truly trust Him to equip us? What will we do? Will we sit back? Let me tell you something. I wonder about this. I can't say this is true. I don't know that it is. I know we talk about it as if it is, and I think maybe there's some truth in it. But if we're not doing what God's called us to do, why are we here? Why are we still here? If we're not sharing the love of Christ with someone, why are we still here? I've had people ask me, "Preacher, I don't know why," or they've told me, "I don't know why I'm still here." We have a task. You have a task. You've been given a responsibility. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? And I don't want to embarrass her, but one of our ladies in the nursing home, I want to share this with you real quickly. She heard her neighbor in the next room, very upset, crying. And she made her way into the other room, into the neighbor's room, her neighbor's room. And she said, I really didn't know what to say, but I knew the 23rd Psalm, and I just started saying it. And that lady looked at her and said, "My mama used to say that to me." And they had a moment of ministry right there in that room, in the nursing home, between two residents in the nursing home. So you can't tell me, "Oh, well, I'm just too old to share the gospel. I'm just too old to do what God's called me to." No. Oh, no. As long as you have breath, you've got a reason to be here. And God's given you the task. He's given me the task. What will we do? That's the question I leave you with today. What will you do? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for being a God who wants to use us in this world. Father, it astounds me. There are many times I feel like Moses. I'm not a real good speaker. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to make it clear enough. I feel like I muddy the waters sometime, and I'm just not as clear as I should be. But then I think about Moses, and I think about what You said to him. You really don't allow us many excuses at all. You really don't. When You've called us, and You have, You enable us. So, Father, my prayer for all of us here who trust in You, God, is that we will trust You. We will step out and watch You work. Oh God, help us, enable us, empower us. Maybe you're here this morning and you you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never given your heart to Him. You're thinking, you're listening to this and thinking, well, now this is real interesting. How does that work? First, you have to understand that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. All of us here are sinners. And if we can understand that we have sinned, all sin is against God. But through Jesus' death on the cross, He's made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell because we have sinned. Well then, goodness, that doesn't seem fair. Well, that's the way it is. But God said, wait a minute. And He sent Jesus. And through His death on the cross, we are able to be forgiven of our sins. If we will believe that Jesus died for our sins, with our sins on Himself, and took the punishment for us, if we will trust in Him and allow God to be in control of our lives, if you will do that, if you will do that today, if you'll make that decision to follow Jesus, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, tell Him that you want Him in charge and not yourself, Him in charge of your life. The Bible teaches us that He will. He will forgive us. He will come in. And He will lead and guide us every day. Maybe you need to make that decision today. I would ask that you not put it off. If you've never made that decision, I ask that you would strongly consider it today. I can't make you make that decision. I wouldn't want to make you. It has to be your decision to follow Christ. Maybe you have some questions. I'm here all week. Come, please call me. I'm here for you. Please do not think that you're interrupting me. I'm here for you. Call me. Father, we thank You for Your great love for us. And we thank You for even wanting to use us in this world. And God, thank You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. We hope that this has been a time of encouragement for you. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and you've been listening to the Pulpit Ministry of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. For more information, you can always go to fbcwinnsboro.com. That's fbcwinnsboro.com. Join us next week, and we will continue looking at Moses, but just in some amazing stories from the Bible. And I remind you, they're not just fables. These are true stories about real people a long time ago, but their stories are relevant to us today. Those stories teach us about how we relate to God and how God relates to us. And so it's very important for us to look at these. So I want to invite you to continue listening right here to Words of Encouragement.